Powder Mountain, our public hearing for the Powder Mountain Water and Sewer Improvement District. We've got a little bit of public here today. On the phone today is Trustee Bob Barrett, Mark Scrotel, if you'd raise your hand, Gary Erdang, if you'd raise your hand, and I'm Jim Harvey from the Weber County Commission. As the chair, that with this completes, we had a resignation of a county commissioner who was also serving on this board and is no longer on the board. So that presents an opportunity for an opening, which is applications can be received in the Weber County Commission office not later than this coming Friday for any of you, or if you know anyone that meets the qualifications and would like to put in an application, that's how you do it. We also have Roy Watts, who's the district manager, and Carrie Zanger, who's with him assistant. Ashley is from Pinniger, Jones.
Durham, Jones.
Yeah, there's a few of them in there. And Marcus Keller with Zions Bank. We also have Paul Hurst seated at the table, who is the does our engineering services for us. And so we'll go ahead and get started by the way that the meeting was posted. Item B, just excuse me a moment. Bob?
Yes?
You got some background noise going on there, just letting you know. Item B is our public comment. I've asked Gary Erdang to be our timekeeper today. If for those of you in the public who would like to comment, we'd like you to do so. You can just address the board here. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Are there any of you that would like to address us today? Oh. Well, the time would be now if that's the case.
Well, why don't we hear what you're going to say first?
Well, to this gentleman's point, I'll introduce myself. I'm Gary Goodenough. I live in Eden, and I'm a customer of Powder Mountain Water and Sewer on the sewer side of things. So to this gentleman's point of being able to comment further, the letter and notice that went out about this meeting stated that materials would be available at the Ogden Valley branch of the library in Huntsville, and also at the Ogden Valley Post Office in Eden. Neither one of those places had any idea about these documents. I took my time to visit both of them. Both said, we don't have documents. So as far as being able to comment on anything, this is the first time we've seen this stuff. So
I was aware of that. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, the documents were delivered, and what happened to them afterwards?
Somebody probably walked off of them.
Pardon me?
Yeah,
I think that somebody's picked them up and walked off.
One moment, please. Yeah. Just a moment. With that being said and that being recognized, Board, what I'd like to do is move our public comment then to between D and E before we go to the resolution. Would that be appropriate?
I think
probably, do you have a notice of the agenda? Is there a agenda right there?
There was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would that serve your purpose tonight?
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Well, we'd like to know what you're going to say.
I'm just making sure that it's in the right place for right now for meeting structure.
Right there. Gary, I'm gonna take yours for a second. Yep. I'm gonna go make some copies. I'll be right back.
Okay. We're gonna go ahead with that in mind because we do want to hear from you in the right thing. Carrie, if you'll make those copies, thanks. And with that being said, let's go ahead. On the next item on the agenda, item number C is from the engineer Paul Hurst from CRS. Thank you.
Okay, so I have, maybe I'm a little far away here, or if you'd like to stand up and come over here and we can make a little huddle,
yeah,
do that too, whichever you like. I'm going to take you through the two impact, now this is for impact fees, so this is for anybody that comes onto, that's not a customer, that comes onto the system. New construction, in other words, new lot, is what this what we're considering and what this board will address tonight. So first of all,
excuse me.
Yes.
Can we back up just a moment?
Yep.
What about regarding the impact fees or the connection fees? Are you going to discuss the connection fees?
He is not. When you have an agenda, it's on item E of the agenda, so those items are on the agenda, and we will do that.
Okay.
Yeah, this is just for new connect. This is for impact fee buying onto the system, a new lot.
Let me just, for the audience that's here, we'll give you an opportunity to speak to those things that I think you have concerns with. We won't shortchange you. So we'll get to that point, but we've got to have these people come in to make the presentations, and so go ahead, Paul,
okay.
If you'd make those presentations.
So I'm gonna hold this closer so we can all see it, if that's okay. This is relative to water system, and of course you can look at this afterward also. So we have two...
Well, let me hold that for you, Paul, so
you
don't have to...
One-armed bandit.
Yeah, there we go.
We have two rate structures. We're proposing two rate impact fee structures. One, in the water system, the original district, which is kind of represented here, and I think all of you know where the original district is, as opposed to the new development that Summit Powder Mountain are constructing right now. So that's the distinction. Anything that Summit Powder Mountain is constructing is considered new, or the Summit Powder Mountain service area. And the original district is anything that is outside of what Summit Powder Mountain is constructing. So the impact fee, since Summit Powder Mountain is paying for everything that they're putting in, wells, tanks, water lines, any appurtenances relative to the water system, there is no impact fee calculated or represented in the study for this particular area, because they've paid for it all, or they are paying for it all. It's the original district area that has some particular costs that we need to collect or need to buy, have buy-in. And so this is the area. All of you, I think, get the idea of where we are. So we're going to grab this piece right now. This one next. And I think you have, if all of you, this map represents the study that was done and what we've decided needs to be done to bring the water system up to the standard that it needs to be and to be able to deliver water. First of all, right now, in the original district, the water is coming from the Summit Powder Mountain facilities. It's coming from their well, their storage, so to speak. Their well, their storage, the well and the storage tank that they constructed and paid for. That's the more appropriate way to say it. And so everything that's in this area that's drinking water right now is coming from right here. Now, we are, if you drove down the canyon, you notice that there's some activity down here in the Pizzle Springs area, the old Kobe well area. There's a driller setting up right now, and he'll set up his equipment he'll start drilling on Friday. This is called the Kobe well. That's the first thing that's an expense to the district. The next thing is the water line to deliver the water from here up to where the consumers are. And then of course we have, we've proposed an additional storage tank that needs to supplement the 80,000 gallon tank that's right here, a 500,000 gallon tank, upgrading the distribution lines, which gives us the opportunity from an emergency standpoint to convey fire flow from the well and the tank on the mountaintop down here in adequate quantities to be able to fight a fire. And let's see, I think those are the main things we have. You have a table if you picked up the study, and it shows you the numbers and when it's supposed to be built. I won't read them all to you. I invite you to look at it either on those sheets in the IFFP, or you can look at this particular handout here, and you can see where it is. All of that was then summarized by Zions, Marcus, and his associates to come up with an impact fee amount. And of course, our window is a 10-year window.
You can't go past 10 years looking at future projects to incorporate those as part of your fee. And everyone sort of understands the compact of impact fees. It's saying that any new development that's coming onto the system is paying their allotted amount for that extra use that they're putting onto the system. And so there are formulas and calculations and the future projects needed in order to be able to accommodate those new users coming onto the system. That's how we come up with the calculations for the impact would be following state law and regulations. So that's just sort of a basic summary of what the impact would be. I don't know if any of you are planning new construction or if your concerns more seem to be more of the connection fees, which we'll get to later, but all these would just be new constructions coming onto the system. If you're already an existing user, you wouldn't necessarily concern yourself with this impact fee, unless you plan on splitting your lot and building it.
Well, it would concern us, actually, because if we were to sell existing property, a new buyer is going to say, well, we've got a big impact fee here. Are you going to split that with us?
Yeah, that's true. There would be some. Yeah, you're exactly right. I apologize. There are some things to consider.
If it's a new connection, correct. That's correct. But this is necessary. I mean, at this point right now, we don't have any water to offer. And so these things either get built or there's no more building.
Before you go, so we're required as a water district to plan for the future growth that we were going to need to connect later on. And so the state requires that. And the state requires this methodology to do it, right? So you got to figure out how it's going to grow, what it's going to cost for that growth, and you have to hire someone else, in this case Zions Bank, to go calculate it according to all of, you know, he was saying there are rules and regulations for doing it. So I just want to emphasize it's not a discretionary, hey, what do you think this should be? It's here's how many people the discretionary part is. How many people will be here over the next 10 years, which we did, have to guess at that. But the rest of it's all just, here's what it costs. So, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, question.
Yes, sir.
On the impact fee, you said you can only look 10 years ahead.
Yes, sir.
Does that mean that impact fee is set for the next 10 years?
Typically, impact fees are supposed to be reevaluated every 5 years.
So they could.
So in 5 years, they would do it, extend it another 10 years to look at those future projects, and then reevaluate based on future capital needs and projects at that time. So if growth is a lot more at that time, then they would, line up the new future projects, and that would be incorporated within the new impact fee. If growth is less, then it would be scaled back. And so that's why they look out 10 years, but they do it every 5. So continually helps them be ahead of new projects.
Probably set for
at least the next 5 years, what we anticipate. Yes, sir. And just to, I know this is a little bit of an aside, but just so you know, I mean, the district's working really hard to keep all rates and all impact fees at a reasonable level. They were able to acquire a 0% loan on some of their latest financing, which, as you know, it's probably pretty hard to get a 0% loan nowadays. And so they were able to do that, again, trying to keep in mind all the users, all the residents up there, and translate that to, as a cost-conscious basis to everyone. So just wanted to put that in there. They are being as conservative and thrifty as possible in everything that they're doing.
So if I may, let me take you onto the sewer, and then we'll sit down and answer questions. We'll turn it back to the chairman and let him entertain public comment. I want to, this side here. Again, the sewer is different from the water, isn't it? And the sewer impact fee is one, remember at the water I said there are two service areas, one that has no impact fee and one that does have an impact fee. The original district has an impact fee. That's not the case with the sewer. The sewer covers the entire corporate limit of the district. So in other words, down in the lower valley, as I call it, as well as up on the mountain, including some of Powder Mountain, will be paying an impact fee for the sewer systems. So this just shows you graphically the boundary. It's a smaller scale, so it looks smaller, but it really isn't. It covers the entire district area. One service area for sewer. Now Marcus will grab this system map. So what we have here is, and the reason is that, I'll use a more appropriate term, crap runs downhill, okay? And so, And so we're bringing all of the sewage down to the lagoons right here. And we've identified the need for some improvements. First of all, one of the big ticket item is we don't own the land that the lagoons are located on at this particular point. And so we figured in the cost of acquiring the land. Well, I'll just say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big number. It's a huge number. Too big, actually. But we figured that into the impact fee, or put that in as one of the project justified project expenses. We're locating or suggesting a new grinder building here. Right now, the grinder building is up here. But as we load up that sewer with more flow, we need that grinder building will get filled, because it just won't flow through that building. So we need to bypass that grinder building with a pipeline and then grind the sewage down here before it goes in the lagoons. We have some minor line upgrades that are needed, and we've identified them here in terms of what they are. So here is the table of that we put together, the analysis, the IF, they call it the facilities analysis. And of course that's in the report also, that gives you the cost, and it gives you what the district would pay for, what the developer would pay for, and what would be eligible impact fee. And based upon what's eligible impact fee, that's how the impact fee was calculated by Zions, was taking these numbers, evaluating them to make sure we complied with the law, because the law is very prescriptive, and then came up with the number for the impact fee. So now I've given you a 10-minute overview that took months to create. Mr. Chairman, I it's quick and dirty, but hopefully that helps.
I might mention one thing too.
Sure.
Is the impact fees, as they're collected, that they aren't used for general funds or general purposes. They are only used for the line items that are on the list. And so we'll have to follow that very meticulously and use those money so it doesn't affect the budget in any way. It doesn't come in and be used for operations. So that means that those projects will get built, and then they'll get built hopefully on the timeline that's been given to us. And so that becomes our work projects, and whether we can fund those all with the impact fees, if they don't come in fast enough, then sometimes you have to finance them, reimburse the district for those fees or funds that have to be expended prior to the impact fees reimbursing the district. So so that can all be tracked also, but it doesn't affect the homeowner's assessment rate or standby fees or whatever. It is impact fees strictly used for those projects, that's all.
Board members, do you have any questions with regards to Mr. Hurst's presentation? I did misspeak earlier with regards to public comment, in as much as it's the desire of the chair to hear the concerns from the members in the audience. What I'd like to do is continue through the agenda and entertain a motion that we move item B down below item E, like Echo, and not take action on items 4, 5, and 6 until after we've had the opportunity to hear from the public so that they can comment on any of the presentations. I think that's fair. And so
yes.
Can someone make a motion to that effect, please?
I move that we move the public comment to after E and before E4.
So it would be just after item B would be after E, and that we take the information after we've heard the discussion on 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, okay. So after E.
Very good. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you, Trustee Scrotale. If there's no more discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. There we go. Let's.
Aye.
Thank you, Bob. Will you?
Aye.
Thank you. Let's go now to item D, like Delta. Roy Watts, our district manager. Discussion on the new rate fee.
Yeah,
I got one right here, Roy.
Okay.
Okay.
No hiking after. So if you have this schedule, so the district has to post a list of its fees that it collects for whatever purposes. And these are for things like charges or liens or just basic stuff for doing business. Also, you would ask about a hookup fee. I'm not so sure those are really identified very well in there, but a hookup fee is strictly for connecting, or a connection fee. I think most everybody understands that term. I think under the code they talk more about a hookup fee, but connection fees are the same thing. Those are the actual costs for getting the service from the main to the property. And so related to that can be things like your turn on and off fees, your trip fees, inspection fees, could be for the meter, could be for locator disc that needs to be put on for it, but things like that. And so what the district does is has to create a chart so that when we charge those, there's something to reference back to so people know what they're paying for as they require a hookup.
Very good. Trustees, are there any comments or any discussion on what Roy Watts presented?
How about mention one other thing? I think this is always a matter of topic. I should address this. It's always standby fees. People sometimes ask what those are. Entities can charge a standby fee to pay for O&M or for the expenses of the district. So essentially what a standby fee is if you purchase a piece of property, you have you want it to have access to the infrastructure, maybe you're going to sit on that property for a number of years before you actually build on it, you will pay, as you sign up, you'll pay a standby fee. That is to pay for O&M, pays for the office, it pays for the equipment, it pays for watching out for the sewer connections, maintaining the system, making sure that the resource, water or sewer, is available, maintained, and ready to go when you're ready to build on that property. So that's what the standby fees are for that are on that list.
Any discussion, members? Thank you. Then we're going to move on to our action items on number E. We'd like to do those independently, one from another, and then I'd like to take intermingled with that discussion from the audience that's here tonight on that. Again, item number four, and just for process here, is a discussion and or action on adoption of a resolution of water and sewer impact fee facilities plan. Item five is a discussion and or action on adoption of a resolution of water and sewer impact fee analysis. And item six is a discussion and or action on adoption of resolution on new rate fee schedule. Before we adopt or take any action or discuss, let's now take, for those who you all have come here to hear what we've got going on at our meeting, and if any of you have any comment now regarding these, now that you've seen the presentations, now would be a good time for you to do that. And Gary, if you, where we've got five here, but still, just so right. I know what the time is on that. If you do make a comment, we ask that you state your name and your address for the record, because it is a public record. Mike?
Michael Whale, 6847 East Aspen Drive. So I want to find out, what's the option of prepaying for these fees prior to the increase?
The option of prepaying for the fees of the before the increase. I'll turn Roy.
Right now, the way that the policies are set, or the rules of the district, and I think I may have even talked to you about this, Mike, but their impact fees are paid just prior to giving a will serve letter. So you have to get through all of the other steps of development of your property, and then you would pay your will. You get your will serve letter and pay your fees. So that would be the process. I guess it could be up to the board to maybe do that, but it's not the development process that they use.
So
but
Creek,
go ahead. And,
yeah, Wolf Creek Water District, Nordic, and Green Power Mountain have all accepted prepayment. So a lot of the lots have been paid for. I know a lot of my neighbors had it paid for, and it helps. It helps to market the property. It's already been paid, like Steve might have mentioned. If he wants to sell his property, it's a nice feature to have it paid for.
Yeah, so a couple of things happen, I guess, and it's up to the board to make that choice, but in the schedule, once they develop that and our professionals, engineers, decide what the infrastructure costs are and what the impact fee ends up being, they're determining that those costs are going to pay for certain infrastructure. If they collected the money all up front at a discounted rate, then they get to go back and figure out how to make up the difference at some point. I know you mentioned that if you were to pay that in advance, then there's a realized profit or a value there that you might have the money for 10 years before you actually it's used in advance. But again, I think that's up to the board to decide something they want to do. I don't, Paul, have you ever met or seen an entity that does that or how they handle it?
Yeah, I've seen it before. I've seen it done.
Yeah, so sounds like the option might be there, but again, it's strictly up the board to choose if they want to accept those prepayments. But it does affect the bottom line and how that infrastructure has to be paid. I don't know whether that's something they want to look at long term first. Or
outside of the potential of collecting monies in a lower amount than would be necessary to fund infrastructure improvements, what happens if you're doing it prior to a will serve letter and you're not able to provide service and you've collected funds? Is there, you know, a tacit agreement there that we are then obligated to provide service that we can't provide? Mm. So,
okay. I'd say possibly.
Yeah, I think that there is a risk to that.
But I think based on where we are, let me let the board discuss.
Yeah, that's the end of time for the for Mike. But
okay,
we can still discuss it.
Yes, we can. Is there any more discussion from the board on this?
I mean, my concern would be that, especially given the state that we have an unknown quantity in the Kobe well, and we don't know what the production is going to be, and we don't know what our ability to serve is going to be. So,
By state law, there is, and maybe Matt Millis can shed a little bit more light on it. I was just texting him the newest and best way of communication, but I believe, and Matt, go ahead and feel free to clarify. They do have 90 days in order to do some sort of prepayment between the new impact fees.
That's true. Yep.
And so, Matt, did you have anything to add? But there is.
No, that's a great intro. But under state law, the new impact fees cannot take effect until 90 days after the resolution is passed. So therefore, you know, you'll have to continue to accept impact fee payments. Now, this is just impact fees, it's not other types of fees, but you'd have 90 days until these new impact fees would actually be assessed.
So Matt, still the same question comes up, that even if we accept the impact fees prior to a will serve, then the district is still obligated to provide that resource, even though it may not be available. So there's a development process in place. We'd be circumventing that if we just collected random impact fees.
Well, that is true. I mean, how you actually so how you actually collect the fee, given your development process, I guess I'm saying is no. So we're not saying we're going to circumvent your process. Your policy of receiving development payments at the right time, you know, prior to the will serve letter, that doesn't change. It's just that if that process is far enough along, you can't prepay, but you can get the original, or you can get the current impact fee prior to the increase if the permit is in process to pay its impact fee within 90 days.
Yeah, I think I remember that several years ago. That was an event to help developers who had projects far enough along that they could come in and get those paid and finish their developments and plan for their expenses. Without being dinged on those pretty hard, so it helped them in the planning process.
Yeah, but that's a good clarification, Roy. We're not saying that we circumvent your development process. It's just that you know, anything in process between now and the next 90 days would be assessed at the current fee.
Okay.
My question may be a little more simple, board members, but if we have someone in the process who's on a standby, so to speak, type of a fee, and they want to remain on those standby. What is the term? It's so much a month. Is that term for 12, 120 months? What is that term for those fees? How many months do we keep those stand if it's a prepayment?
If they're staying on standby fees, it's indefinitely waiting for them to develop their property. It could be.
But if it's a prepayment of fees, my assumption that Mr. Moyal wants to prepay his fees and pay a lump sum up in advance to protect maybe any rate increase in the future. But what would be the term? What would be the term of that? I mean, we've got, and let me back off, because I don't mean to put him on the spot individually. There are a lot of potential grow, you know, other things up there. We do, for one, we should be equitable for all. So we have one that may develop in 2 years. We have one that may develop in 40 years. What is the one-time payment? When, what's the term? You know, that's my question, is I don't know how we would go about a term. As it relates to comments from the audience, and I'm sure there are others who do a prepayment type option.
But that would be standby fees, but impact fees may be differently.
Yeah, and then I may have misspoke. But
impact fees, like
impact
I don't know, okay. That there are 83 water companies east of that ridge now. There are 83 water companies in the Upper Ogden Valley right now.
Really?
Yes. So some of them have only one or two parcels to them. Some of them are a lot more complicated, but you named, Mr. Moyal was kind enough to name two or three or four of them that had on there, but I don't know what the right thing to do, and I'm more stuck on length of term, and I'm wanting to be fair. You know, I don't know, everyone's situation is different as far as when they plan on, if they plan on developing their property, so I think it's...
I think, sorry to cut you off, but if,
no, you're not,
if Mike is asking specifically about impact fees, those are due at the time of the will serve letter being issued, so I don't think there's a term consideration there. And since he's not asking about standby fees, you know, those would just be paid, you know, as they're due without a term, and it's the developer's obligation then to maintain current payment on those with that,
paid monthly.
Yeah, because I don't think we would get to a point where we're setting a rate for prepayment of standby fees, because
there are
no ability.
Yeah,
to
sometime,
pay.
Yeah. A lump sum. Okay, that's great.
Yeah,
thanks
that's
for explaining
yeah.
that to me.
Yeah, so.
So one of the things we didn't talk about, and we probably should, is the actual cost of the impact fees, mm-hmm. the actual dollar amounts. And Paul could explain this, or Marcus maybe better than I, but the impact fees, the study justifies the maximum impact fee that can be charged. Board, if I understand the law right, has the right to actually adjust it down if they want. They want to figure another way to finance their improvements, bond for it, wait for several more years and postpone things, they can. But I think it's an important thing. The people need to understand what the cost is, and then the board needs to decide if they're going to set that at the maximum. And there still are other things that probably could have been put in the impact fee analysis that should have driven the rate higher. But I think Paul's been, and I think Zions Bank has been pretty conservative to try and keep the rates under control. I think they could be double what they are, I think, if they really went after things. But
well, we understand there's an affordability factor as well, the price of land as well, as we try to be sensitive as we're doing this. So in a lot of our analysis, instead of saying, you know, the district's going to raise all this money for this project up front, as Roy alluded to, we put in bonding scenarios so that instead of having an upfront fee that they're trying to save for and cash fund in 4 or 5 years for $1 million projects, we'll put in some bonding scenarios or whatever it is to extend the term of those projects and make it more affordable. Again, helping with the resale value, or you know, as you parcel off or whatever it may be, so it doesn't hurt your communities with, you know, hurting development or anything along those lines. So we try to be sensitive to that. We work with the engineers, we work with Roy and the district to see what we feel like is an affordable impact fee, as well as enough that would get the infrastructure needed to support the district.
Yeah, and then again, that's when they look at it 10 years down the road, or at least start the review in 5 years, and that's to kind of keep watching the economy and costs, and maybe there's newer technologies and things that can change. Maybe different developments might bring a water line in a different direction, or a sewer line that might aid in the not having to build a big main. So all kinds of things change over time. So that's why it's evaluated. And then also inflation, other things need to be looked at in the five-year process. But plus, it always keeps the district looking at new improvements, modernizing, upgrading, making sure that the infrastructure is always being managed. So the state legislature were wise in their wisdom in doing, were wise in doing that. It forces the districts to always be analyzing it and making sure that they're charging the right fees and doing the right things.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, based on what you're saying, if we, for example, said we're going to bond the entire thing, and thus the impact fee would be zero, the ratepayers would make that up, right?
Right.
Then our rates would be like four
or
five times.
It goes to one side, so we try to make it a nice middle ground.
So the gist of what we're doing is saying, if you're going to cause an impact by doing something in the future, you should pay for that. And if you should pay for that, mm-hmm. not everybody who already has a water connection today.
Correct, up to 10 years.
Yep. Gotcha.
Yep.
So we didn't.
Matt, did you want to? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't think bonding is a substitute for impact fees. Where if you bonded for an improvement, suddenly your impact goes away. What the state law allows you to do is to take the interest cost on the bond and to put that into your impact fee as well. And so if you were to bond the improvements, the benefit comes from the ratepayers who are able to amortize that expense over a period of time rather than having to quickly build up cash. But with the impact fee, you would still assess the impact fee, but you'd add the interest cost on top of that. So
I got you. Okay.
The other thing we haven't mentioned officially is we haven't mentioned the maximum rate, have we, in the meeting here? So based upon Zion's analysis for water, the impact fee for a new unit would be $8,048, $8,048. That's water, and that's in the original district area, as I outlined for you. Sanitary sewers for the entire district, and that rate is calculated maximum allowable rate, and I'm giving you a maximum allowable, as was mentioned. This board can choose to do something different. They can reduce it if they wish. Maximum allowable for sewer for the entire district area per residential unit is $9,147.
And again, reminding you that with those rates have been established and those maximum rates, that will pay for the infrastructure based on the schedule that's been just shown to us. So if they change that, if the trustees were to drop that, say, $1,000 a connection or ERU, then we have to figure out how to make that up somehow. I mean, that infrastructure still has to be built. You either push out the timeline or you make it up in some year, but you have to do something to correct it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Board members, discussion.
So we passed. I'm sorry.
We're not past the public comment. Let me just explain one thing to the board members. Thank you, and I'll come back.
Okay.
Thank you. We're not past that.
Okay.
Board members, as our agenda, there are two resolutions to be heard. Items number 4 and 5 are on one resolution. Item number 6 is on a second resolution. Now I'll come back to public comment. Thank you. I'll recognize here first.
Okay, my name is Gary Goodenough. Address is 4134 East 4500 in Eden. Confirming, checking for understanding. What I'm hearing is basically what this is all about is you've got to make infrastructure enhancements to support current and anticipated growth. That infrastructure enhancements will be covered by impact fees. I think I heard, but I want to just say it out loud because I'm getting old. What I heard was there's nothing on the table at this time, no discussion about increases to monthly fees for sewer or water. Not on the table.
That's correct. This is not, this meeting is not about user rates. This is about impacts caused by new growth.
Okay, fair enough. So then don't really be happy if you already have your house and, yeah. and all that. So tied to that, I heard one of the infrastructure enhancements is proposed new grinder building downhill close to the lagoons. Makes sense. It always boggled my mind that the water comes downhill and then we pump stuff uphill.
Amen.
And maybe this isn't the meeting to ask this question, but I'll throw it out there. Would over time putting that operation, that grinding process downhill closer to the lagoons, is there any thought that that could actually reduce operating costs because you're not pumping stuff uphill?
It might do, I'm going to let the engineer talk to you about it, but it could only affect the preserve because, and you could, yeah, that's where you live. So I think you have looked at that, haven't you, Paul, how to modify that in case you decided to?
Well, the grinder building is will then handle both the preserve and the upper mountain area, if I can use that generalistic term. Mm-hmm. Again, the main reason for moving the grinder building, well, two. You know, you need to grind this stuff up. Wet wipes don't disintegrate. They don't come apart. Maybe grinding a little bit will help, but at any rate, it helps clean up the whole system going into the lagoons. We're not really pumping any sewage coming from the mountain back up again. It's flowing through, and we're just going to catch more of it down there with the grinder building is what we're going to do. Now, I will add, there's a nuance here to what we're talking about, and if you look carefully at the tables, I think I pointed it out to you, there are shared costs in some cases. The existing users aren't paying impact fees, so we take out the existing users in the calculation. It's just the projected, estimated new users, new connections coming on that we're figuring for the impact fee. There is still a contribution that the existing users are going to need to make at some point to these facilities that, you know, their part, the system wears out, the system's old. You know, those things, you know, we've got to constantly upgrade and update, and that's where the operation and maintenance user rate comes in.
Paul, this is Matt. I was just going to comment that, for example, on the sewer, the split was about 54% to future growth and about 46% to existing users. So it's pretty quick, but they're clear. It's almost half and half between what would go to rates versus these impact fees.
Yeah. That's based on numbers.
Well, then a follow-up then is we're not talking about usage fees now, but don't get comfy and sleepy and think that they're going to... And I get it. Nothing, you know, costs go up. That's a fact of life. So
that's right.
There might be another meeting to have that.
I can guarantee you there will be.
Okay.
It's coming.
We'll look for the
left. Yeah. But I think along with that is new growth does help to cover a lot of those costs. There's no question about it. And so the idea is, of course, that we can't use any of the money that comes in from impact fees to help make improvements that might have helped the existing customers out. And so they can't benefit from that. Only the new growth pays for itself. And then the existing customers pay their own way, too.
Thank you.
Point of information for that future growth, as Chair, I apologize personally for the messaging and you having to travel all over up there to get those notices. I would like to move forward, and we will with Carrie and Roy about doing something electronically so you can get it right in your own home. We need to do that.
Yeah, I mean, specific to that, I spoke with
forget the lady's name at the post office. I mean, she's Jeannie, always
she,
there.
She had no clue.
She looked at me like I had three heads.
Yeah, I had.
And then I went to when I went to the library, I actually spoke with the library manager, and I got the same kind of reaction. So stuff got dropped off.
Yeah, that was, it was frustrating to us too. We actually got an email from it was
from
the library,
Cheryl, and I got a phone call.
Yeah, and we're like, we know they're dropped off, and so then we just scrambled to try and get back out and get the information back out. But yeah, the posters, the stuff had been taken down. People just picked them up, walked off with them, and I don't know. You know, I guess they have to be, you can't lock them behind those panels because then nobody can get to them. I don't know. It's a frustrating process. You need that documentation out there, but general public who can take it. Libraries are the best if they'll hang on to it. And it kind of depends on who you talk to. Now, Carrie, you actually went back up to find out what happened.
But I did. I went back up and I talked to Linda, and she put everything that I had taken with me behind the counter to distribute personally from behind the counter versus out. Now, I could get the post office to do that, but I did get the library.
Yeah, we learned a lesson. We'll take pictures of everything when you drop it off as proof it's there.
And that's messaging in the future, but that's we will do a better job in messaging.
And electronic email.
In all fairness, we do have a website that this stuff is posted on, too, that you can print off PDFs and stuff, so that if that helps.
Well, let's make sure it's
in the
bills, or the monthly bills.
So right, everything is always on the website.
Let's go right here next.
Thank you. Two solutions, okay? Sorry, Mom. But we do have a board member who has an office up there on Powder Mountain. Like Mark, okay, could this stuff be left in his office? And if a copy is needed to be made, I was more than willing to go and pay for a copy, but I couldn't find anything. There was nothing at the post office, nothing at the library. That would be one solution. And or if there are people who are, you know, more than averagely interested in what's going on, they'd be put on a list. So instead of just sending out, you know, the letter that says where you can go pick the information up, bill me 10 cents a copy for each page in the information.
Those are some other good suggestions on that as well.
Yeah.
And I think we can notice better. We'll figure that out. But this isn't rocket science.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have a comment as it pertains to item 4 or 5?
No, but I did have one quick question about what Paul said before about the sewer.
Okay, go ahead.
At one point in the past, there was the possibility of hooking up with Wolf Creek. Then there were some strained relationships there in terms of the sewer, and is that completely gone out of the window now?
At this point, it is.
Okay.
Why?
Because they don't want to cooperate.
Wolf Creek,
we're willing.
When we discuss it with Wolf Creek, they say, number one, they're already oversubscribed for their system, and number two, they're already experiencing peak flows in excess of what their treatment center can actually handle. Because they have infiltration issues in their lines. So that's the response we get. We've kind of extended the olive branch on multiple occasions because it's the logical solution to try to start working towards a regional sewer solution rather than continue to perpetuate multiple dispersed treatment options. But right now it doesn't seem feasible. So.
That's interesting because a year ago they said they had excess capacity.
Isn't it though?
And we visited with them in this room a year ago, and they told us, or maybe
wasn't even a year ago,
11 months ago, 10 months ago, and they said thank you but no thank you.
They came at our invitation.
Yeah,
we are working towards that, and it was a no.
I'm guessing that things like the bridges, the development there, I went in there for the first time real quickly, and I don't know how many units are there, but it's huge, and if that's going to that system, that places like that,
300
system.
Yeah, I think they're just shy of 300. I think.
Yeah.
Probably 90 would be way too much.
Did you have any comments for?
That was my question. Has anybody investigated the possibility of connecting with Wolf Creek?
Do me a favor. State your name and address for the record, so we have it.
Steve Erickson. I'm. 6748 Aspen Drive.
Thank you. So yeah, I can tell you, having sat in there and visiting with different members on that board, couple of times here. Just for me, I don't mind saying, as from the commission standpoint and having an overarching view of the whole county, I think, and I'll say what's on public record, I think having 83 water districts is, I like consolidation. I think there's more efficiencies in consolidation. I think there's better solutions in consolidation, but water is like gold, and that can be another thing that we handle on another day. But we're working towards making sure that this district is healthy, and I'll come back to you, and that I want you to know, this group up here to know that I have great confidence in Carrie and Roy and what they've done, especially in the last little while. Paul was good to get us from a place that wasn't so good and was a good transition, and Roy's just taken off and exponentially done a fantastic job for this district and all the users up there. There's a better collaboration working together than I've ever seen, and my experience though is rather short, but I love what's happening, and I know that we're doing, we're being proactive and trying to work together with people and not apart. Mr. Erickson, go ahead.
Roy, I think you mentioned that all of the infrastructure was paid for by Summit Powder Mountain. Does that include the Colbay well?
Well, it might be Paul.
So it's not
No. The infrastructure relative to their system and their development needs are being paid for by them. But as far as this is, we're talking water right now. The Kobabe well and the water line that will need to be run between the Kobabe well and up to the mountain is being funded and paid for by the users of that area, that the original district area.
Through that zero interest bond.
Sewer is paid by...
Yeah, just, why don't you answer the question, too? Sewer is paid... I heard district-wide.
District-wide.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Question on the lagoons again.
Sure.
Just real quickly, does this talk about a 10-year plan, okay, are the lagoons the solution for the next 10 years, or are they looked at as a permanent solution?
I would venture to guess that they are not permanent. I will say... No, that's not a good solution, but it's the only solution we have right now, and there are a number of environmental issues that need to be worked through before another solution can be created. And so we're not oblivious to it. We're just living with what we have right now and getting by.
It could actually be a treatment system right there.
Possibly.
They're wonderful, I'll tell you too, and this is just maybe useless fodder, but we're being presented as a county on different ways to process not just the treatment of sewer, but also garbage into remanufacturing fuels or oils or pellets or a number of different things. But there are other problems right now currently that surround that with regards to guaranteed waste streams and other things that we're actually working through. We've met with three different manufacturers of such things, but until we get some of the other things done, we can't proceed with those yet. But you can see us, you can trust that we're looking at those, because if we can save every resident money on that yet and then also get a return, instead of the garbage being hauled to a landfill somewhere else, being actually used as a cleaner opportunity for a cement plant in Croydon, so to speak, or somewhere else where they're usually using coal. We're getting away further from fossil fuels and to think if they could fire from remanufactured garbage. I mean, it's just awesome. Mr. Erickson?
Has the county looked at entire Upper Valley sewer system? I mean, if you could combine everybody in the Upper Valley, we wouldn't have these ridiculous fees.
Yeah, that's a great comment. There has been, the county doesn't necessarily have looked at that. Though that would have to do with districts.
this district is independent of the county. You'll notice that it's not you're not at a county commission meeting where you're hearing all these things. It's an independent district. The Central Weber Sewer District down here, the Central, and I say that, I'm going to emphasize that, Central Weber Sewer District encompasses quite a few different sewer areas. There's a Hooper Sewer District. There's not 80 of them, but you look at the land mass and the number of volumes around here in the lower, I think there's four different sewer districts, five down here versus, you know, I don't know how many sewer districts up there. Good comment, great idea. Does the possibility exist in the future? Well, for me, again, I'll go back to anything we can do with regards to consolidation, because I see that it's more effective and it's more cost effective to do those things. So, but not at this time, not yet. I think before you get to a situation like that, and I don't know, there's a lot of talk of a lot of different things with regards to not just water, sewer, but cities, and there's a lot of boundary things there. It's coming along.
And just to throw something else out there, you know, speaking both as a board member and, you know, as the manager of Powder Mountain, you know, we're working with Roy frequently, and you know, to try to come up with a unified solution that may eventually incorporate Wolf Creek or tying into Wolf Creek, because we have lands available in the valley, and you know, one of the biggest concerns is we don't own the land where the lagoons are, and we don't have a long-term solution for either the ownership or even a long-term lease of those lands. So, you know, and a lot of it is talking about alternate treatment methodology, including water reuse after treated. So, you know, we're open to those possibilities, and we're definitely exploring those. And if anybody has any ideas or solutions they've seen work in the past, we're more than open to listening to those too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then once we get them, we'll share them, because that can only help. That can only help the whole thing. To the public, are there any more comments before we? Because we're going to take action here pretty quickly. So that's where we're headed.
Let's make a quick comment first before we end. One of the things that we talked about doing, Carrie and I, is either getting a newsletter out on a regular basis or having an open house once or twice a year up there, where we could have this kind of stuff out, the rate schedules, and then we could address any issues and get to know everybody, and that way we can resolve those concerns on a regular basis and let you know where we're headed in the future and what our plans are and what our budgets are like and all that kind of stuff. So we'll try and do that coming up.
I'm going to ask. Go ahead, Gary.
You can invite us over to your house.
Thank you. Carrie, I'm going to request that you get, if they're willing to, give you at least an email address from each one of the members present, because the faces I've seen here, I've seen most of them before in meetings over the last 18 months. And again, messaging and being proactive would be a lot better. And I'm totally open to have them included on what we're doing, so there's no mis-messaging going on out there. So if there's no more
quick question.
Okay, yep.
Like at the post office in the library, how many copies of this were available?
Evan made, when I sent Evan, I personally took up one of each and put behind. When the library told me that they would make copies, I just left one there because she left it in her possession. Now when I took it to the post office person myself, I had Evan take two or three different copies so that there was, you know, more than just one. And then when I personally went up, I had at least three at the post office, but at the library, she said that she would just keep the one behind and distribute it when somebody came in
to
make copies.
Thank you. By state statute, we have to record it on the state website, on the opens meeting law list, and it has to go out to our libraries, and there's only one copy required by state. But again, that's the reason we're doing this. It doesn't matter if there's one or every user gets a copy. It doesn't matter to me whether you just delete the email or not. It's simple. Simple. If there's no more discussion from the audience, then I'm going to move that we entertain a motion that we close the public comment.
I make that motion.
Motion recognized by Trustee Erdang.
I'll second.
Second by Trustee Skrtel. If there's no more discussion, call for a vote. All in favor? Aye. Public comment is closed.
Aye.
Thank you, Bob. We'll go now to the action items. The chair would entertain a motion, and if the trustee would recognize items 4 and 5 together in a motion, I would appreciate that. Trustee Erdang?
I make a motion that we act on 4 and 5.
Now, excuse me, but I'm going to just, is this the part that you wanted to?
Yes.
So you're okay now?
I don't think I don't see a conflict.
It's up to you. That's for you.
Then I'm okay now.
That we accept item 4 of 5 by Trustee Erdang. A second, Bob?
Yes.
Thank you. We have a second by Trustee Barrett. This is a resolution, and so, Carrie, will you please pull the board?
Trustee Chartel?
Aye.
Trustee Erdang?
Aye.
Trustee Barrett?
Aye.
Trustee Harvey?
Aye. Motion carries. We'll now move on to item number 6, which is a discussion and or action on adoption of the resolution of the new rate fee schedule. Is there any discussion on that particular line item? No discussion being recognized. The chair will entertain a motion.
I move that we adopt the resolution on the new rate fee schedule.
Recognized as a motion. Is there a second? And there we have a second by Trustee Escortel. Is there any more discussion on the item? None being recognized, I'll call for the vote again by resolution. Carrie?
Trustee Chartel?
Aye.
Trustee Erdang?
Aye.
Trustee Barrett?
Aye.
Trustee Harvey?
Aye. Very good. If there's no more discussion then, crew?
I move we adjourn.
Then recognize the non-debatable item. We stand adjourned.
All right.